and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wrestling Is Cool podcast with your hosts, Santi and Sancho. And remember, wrestling is cool.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast.
Hey,
the cool.
Forget wrestling. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are engaged, brother. Oh my goodness. Aren't you so happy? I am so happy for them, Santi. They're engaged to be wed. Oh my God. This is breaking news, man.
Yeah, because nothing lasts longer than a celebrity and athlete wedding, as we have seen.
You hate love. Boo. You hate love.
I give it 4 years. I give it 4 years. Watch. Just you watch. Dude, this is annoying. You want to know why I hate this? Good sure. for them, but it's a Chiefs Super Bowl. It's a Chiefs Super Bowl win again. It's just what's right. going to happen. They're going to win the Super Bowl because of this. The NFL yeah. script is like, it's not going to work for you, Chargers. It's time for another Chiefs Super Bowl. It should have been the Chargers this year, but because of this freaking engagement announcement, it's going to be another Chiefs Super Bowl that I have to sit through.
It's going to be Kansas City Chiefs rules. You know it, man. It is what it is. Like, oh, Charger Rhodes, you think you're going to make it out here, Charger Rhodes? Nah.
We opened the season against the Chiefs, too, and that's all they're going to be talking about, Travis Kelce's engagement.
First down, by the way, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are engaged.
Touchdown, Chargers, but who cares, because we have the wedding of the century. Available on ESPN for $30 a month.
No longer on Peacock. You know, it's interesting. There's rumors that she's going to be performing in the Super Bowl halftime show.
Makes sense, especially if it's a Chiefs Super Bowl, which I don't want to see again. That would legitimately ruin my 2026. If it's another Chiefs Super Bowl, And that's the start of the year. It would ruin the rest of the year for me. No matter what happens in March or April or May or June or the rest of the year, it's ruined. Yeet. August. Yeet.
Hey, why are you saying Chiefs Super Bowl? Could be Cowboys, baby. Cowboys, Chiefs. Yee-haw.
Dude, you guys can't even get your best player to get on the field because he hates you guys so much. Cowboys are a frustrating franchise. But folks, welcome to the Wrestling Is Cool podcast, the coolest wrestling podcast on the planet. You can, of course, be getting this episode of the podcast 3 days earlier than everywhere else on the planet over on patreon.com/SantiZab. Make sure you check the description or the pinned comment, wherever it is that you might be watching this, if you're watching this on free feeds. Just know as well that over on the Patreon, not only do you get this early, but you get the Raw reviews, the SmackDown reviews, all with footage, by the way, the Ryback In review, the currently ongoing John Cena World Championship Wins and Losses Rank Series, the already finished Undertaker WrestleMania Matches Rank Series, and the already completed Every Royal Rumble Series. So go check it out, patreon.com/SantiZab. Over 1,000 hours of content already available there for you for just $5. It gets you everything.
Brain rot hours.
That's it.
80% real, 80% brain rot, 20% wrestling.
It's all the brain rot you need, guys. You don't need to get your brain rot from anywhere else. You get fresh, like from farm to plate brain rot from us, humble farmers. We're at the roadshow, you know? We're at the farmer's market selling our all organic brain rot, you know? People come by to us. What do you guys have? It's going to be Bloodline Rule.
Sir, that's like 2 years old. Hey, that's what we got.
That's what we got. It's fresh. It's still in season. We have the best brain rot, but that's not just us saying that. Everyone else is saying that. Sports Illustrated is saying that.
Sports Illustrated. Did you know that there's a thing out there that someone put out in the universe that The Rock is going to be the final match of John Cena and the final boss. And it's not going to happen at Saturday Night's Main Event that The Rock comes out during all the celebration and he comes out and he says like, oh, you think you're done? It says right here, you're going to keep wrestling John until the rest of your life. And then they have a match at Mania.
I mean, that would change my life. that would change my life. I would transcend into the heavens and start hanging out with the gods of Mount Olympus if something like that actually were to happen. I don't see it. I am Sancho. Don't fucking do this to me, man. Stop putting these thoughts in my head. Stop giving me hope that The Rock is going to return. Stop making me believe that something awesome is going to happen. Stop making me believe that The Rock is going to pay off a storyline, and stop making me believe that the John Cena retirement match won't actually get fumbled and get put on Saturday night's main event. Stop giving me hope. I don't want it. I've already come to the conclusion and have accepted the fate of John Cena's retirement speech getting cut off like Goldberg's because they need to put on the 10 p.m. local news.
You can only hope to have the final boss save your little puny life, dude. Only The Rock can make John Cena's retirement match matter.
That would be insane. That actually would be insane. But I will this even have commercials Saturday night's main event? Because it's not on TV. Yeah, it's only airing on Peacock and internationally, I'm assuming YouTube as it's always been. So I guess they don't need commercials, and in theory, they don't need an end time. In theory, this could just be a PLE.
An Austin theory?
Oh.
I was hoping that Saturday main event would be like a goodbye. Like the entire show is just goodbye. Like I don't even want matches. I just want like segments and people talk about John Cena, and then it ends with one match.
John, this is your life.
Yeah.
This is your gym teacher, John. This is the owner of the pizza joint that you scammed out of that $50 pizza deal.
I like how we just accepted it. Like it was clearly not any, that was not The Rock's coach.
Good times, man. Good times. But let's start talking about some different stuff here. So shortly after we posted our podcast last week, last Tuesday on patreon.com/AntiZab, the news came out that WWE basically did an any percent speed run of their Peacock deal. They're like, this is supposed to end in March 2026. Let me do a quick bunny hop wall glitch and get to the end of the end credits as quickly as possible. Because the deal is done as early as when credits roll at Clash in Paris. I feel personally like Peacock got a little bit scammed with like, oh, well, the second night of WrestleMania counts as two PLEs. Because that, well, now it's SummerSlam, that was two PLEs. Somebody there got scammed. Somebody there at WWE combed through the contract and clearly found that loophole and said, yeah, well, I guess we could just do two night PLEs and that counts as one of the PLEs that we're contractually obligated to Peacock. And here we are. Come September 20th, of course, the same day as AEW's All Out, WrestlePalooza comes to Indianapolis, and it is the first WWE premium live event on the Big Mouse's network, ESPN, for $30 a month. And Sancho, can we have a New Day moment of silence for reaction content? Because it's about to die. The Big Mouse won't have it, man. That's it. Oh. Clash in Paris will be the last time that you see content creators posting reaction clips on Instagram and all those places, because I'm not going to fucking risk it. I'm not risking it. I'll let you guys risk it. Normally, I'm the guinea pig, and normally, I'm the first one banned. But not this time. Uh-uh. Come after somebody else.
Hiya, pal. That's a good reaction you got there. You got a contract? Did you get an express written consent from the mouse? Nope. For me, as a United States fan, this is where it impacts us the most, it just hurts, dude, because we can't gear up for it. We can't budget for it. I know people are saying, like, it's only $17. Dude, that's a lot. And I know I've seen so many interesting things all this whole fallout that I could literally make a whole video on. But it essentially is, I've seen John Cena on ESPN now. He's on commercials with Stewie Griffin talking about the Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN bundle. I saw that when I was at the gym. I've seen John Cena on Good Morning America, which is an ABC thing, which is part of the Disney umbrella. So the relationship is definitely working. There's rumors that ESPN is going to have ESPN personalities to do the WWE draft. There's also things where they literally had WWE clips and highlights during SportsCenter. So the relationship is already showing its fruition in terms of getting exposure.
The removal of AEW coverage on the ESPN websites as well.
Which is huge, which is the number one media coverage of sports in the nation. So there's so many things. And Tanti, I had it in my video, I had this tinfoil hat. What if the Jaguars don't get coverage? What if Tony Khan doesn't get interviewed by ESPN or SportsCenter? They could do that.
First of all, when did the Jaguars get any coverage? They never appeared. What? They don't get any primetime games. Monday Night Football, Jaguars. Who wants to watch that garbage?
Who knows? Chargers fans do because they're used to it.
All right, relax. Chill. All right, move on. Move on. All right, we got problems now. But no, I doubt that they're going to go as far as like stop
like
covering
because
like no. What else does he own? He owns an English Premier Team league. I just don't remember which one. Fulham FC. So maybe they don't get any games. Maybe who knows? Jags games.
Who knows? The WWE is proved to be petty, or TKO in his instance proves to be petty. Regardless, we have to pay more. We have to pay to get to WrestlePalooza. If you're going to go there live, good luck there, pal, because that's like a $5.
Oh, my God.
Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious. What are those ticket prices? I saw as much as $5,000 for, like, the ramp. Not even, like, front row. The ramp. What is that? This is a BPLE as far as I know. Every September PLE, brother, this is on par with Fastlane in terms of its notoriety, how well it's known. They might be putting on an insane card, but at face value with no matches announced, the nerve to charge as much as they're charging, bold. It's a bold move, Cotton. Welcome to ESPN The Ocho. Now that's also part of the umbrella. Maybe The Ocho will start covering WWE.
Cheaper to go to Disneyland and get that VIP tour. I've always wanted to do that. You know, you get that tour guide with you. Mm. It takes you through all the rides. And you can go to the front. That's what I want.
Oh, that's
the
dream.
I could do that. That's the dream. I could do that with my whole family, then going to a WWE event in Indianapolis. That is like not a place that is used to paying those kind of prices for an event. And you're just charging Vegas numbers all of a sudden? Mania numbers? Bold. I agree with you. I mean, they're all putting on the bank of John Cena and Brock Lesnar. Regardless, talk about these ESPN thing. I know I already told you the benefits from the wrestler side of things. You get more exposure from the fan side of things. It just puts us further back on the totem pole of importance of priorities when it comes to the WWE. I called it a long time ago, and I said it here so many times. It's no longer a family-friendly brand in terms of cost, my friend. You're going to have to pay a lot. And you want it? Hey, you want that little Dimenito doll that you saw at Triple Mania? That's going to be $100, brother. So things are getting nastier. It is what it is. We'll do our best to cover it because that's what you want us to do. And we actually love covering wrestling. But let us know in the comments how it's affect you. Now, there's people out there that go, oh, I have cable. I'm fine. But there's still reports. YouTube TV may not cover it. You might have to have a certain cable package. You might have a cable provider. There's so many things that we're going to find out the hard way when you go, oh, it's time for WrestlePalooza. I'm going to go sit down now. Got my snacks. Got all my friends. You hit the thing and up. Not allowed. You must download the ESPN app. That's going to be where things get a little tough.
Mm-hmm. And I think that WWE, and we talked a little bit about this in the predictions video that we made for Clash and Pair. So go check that out and listen to it if you haven't been able to already. We talked about how it feels like they're phoning in Clash and Paris. Like they're just there to get through to the end of the contract. Like we said, they're just there to speed run this, brother. Any percent. This isn't a get all the collectibles. This isn't to complete all the side missions. This is any percent get to the final boss. Final boss. Roll credits with Peacock so that they can move over and start charging more over on ESPN. We have things like the Women's World title match being left off. Brock Lesnar's return happening at SummerSlam and then kind of going MIA and not building towards Clash in Paris, where I initially thought it was going to be likely now happening at WrestlePalooza. Things being left off, like Dominic and AJ Styles being left off of Clash in Paris inexplicably. So it does already feel like WWE. Oh, and no Cody Rhodes, might I add, as well. It does already feel like WWE is putting in more effort towards WrestlePalooza than they are for Clash in Paris, which is their upcoming PLE. They're already teasing Brock and Cena. They're already building towards Cody Rhodes' next match. Like, it's so clear as day that they are just so ready to move on from this Peacock deal, as evident by how quickly they decided to get through all of the deliverables of the contract. We talked about this in the predictions as well. I think that the show Clash in Paris is going to end with the big cliffhanger of Brock Lesnar to entice you to go to ESPN to watch the WrestlePalooza match. You suggested that they might even be like, we're now, like, before Reddit credits roll, it'll be John Cena versus Brock Lesnar at WrestlePalooza ESPN. And then maybe it's maybe Cena, like, on the mic, challenges Lesnar right there as the credits roll. And Cena himself tells us on ESPN, brother, for $30, brother.
See you at Disney Plus, ESPN, and Hulu. Bam! That's what he's gonna do. It's a thing, man. This is the thing about WWE going to TKO, and I'm surprised no one really saw this happening. You know, I think we were all have rose tinted glasses when Triple H took over and we were in the Renaissance era. Remember that? Oh, the Renaissance era, Triple H long term booking. And it's clear that this long term booking is not gonna. Now, the silver cloud of this all, the silver lining in the cloud would be that Clash is used as a way to build up part of the build to WrestlePalooza, because WrestlePalooza is right around that corner, man. It's going to happen real fast. Well, how many weeks between Clash and WrestlePalooza?
20 days. Literally 20. Like, literally almost exactly 3 weeks.
So, two Raws, maybe three with a go-home. Not a lot.
Not very much,
gotta
man.
We got to build out that card. So, I think, like, whatever happens at Clash would be the catalyst for this because of that quick turnaround. You know, whatever happens with Drew, Logan, CM Punk and Seth Rollins, that's going to be the main thing. Of course, John and Brock Lesnar. And whatever happens with Stephanie Vaquer, I mean, they promised her a match at some point in the future. So if they have that, they got to have the ladies on that WrestlePalooza. So perfect for that. I don't know, man. That card is going to be thrown together pretty quickly, too. It'd be nice, because if they have WrestlePalooza, it sounds like they would have some AAA. That'd be cool. Get some AAA guys in there. That'd be neat. Have a little bit of that.
I don't think so, because they have Worlds Collide a week before.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jeez. So even that, if I don't know, man, it gets messy. I have this thought process because we were watching our reviews and, you know, Ryback and review and John Cena, where, you know, Vince's booking was one segmented. That's it. You know, one PLE ends and then Chris Jericho randomly comes out and says, Ryback, more like Cryback. Let's have a match. Like, that's what happens. So I was like, is that simpler for them to book versus these long-term booking? And when you have these outside factors of ESPN getting involved and you know, WrestlePalooza coming into play, I don't know, man. I have to keep an eye on it. It's one of those things like, I'm seeing something happening. I want to keep an eye on this.
I think one of the things we got to keep an eye out on as well is the filling out of the rest of the calendar year with PLEs. I noticed this not too long ago. Like, I was kind of, I made a video analyzing just how jam-packed the summer was for WWE Premium Live events. Go back to, like, that crazy July period, right? With, like, Saturday night's main event, Night of Champions, Evolution, all being, like, so close to each other, SummerSlam. And when I looked further out into the year and I was like, Clash in Paris, and then we have to wait a month and a half almost for the Perth show, and then another month and a half for Survivor Series War Games, and then nothing in December. I think this was the plan all along. They were holding off on announcing more shows because they probably expected and were waiting for this ESPN deal to really materialize. Dude, September went from having no shows to an insane amount of shows for WWE premium programming. Let's count Clash in Paris as kind of part of September because it's December 30. It's August 31st. So just in the 4 weeks, right? We have Clash in Paris. Then immediately after, in 2 weeks, you have Worlds Collide. Then the week after, you have WrestlePalooza. And then the week after that, they just randomly announce NXT No Mercy, which is usually one of the bigger NXT shows of the year. They're just going bang, bang, bang. I think you're going to get that in October as well and in November. I think they're going to just do this, like, All right, we've secured the bag of the ESPN deal. Here's all of the shit that we're going to jam pack to this $30 a month.
It's like when you get a new job, you're at your best. Mm-hmm. You're on time. You're clean a little bit more. You're saying a little bit extra. You're proving your worth. I think we're going to get a lot of invasion on WWE on ESPN programming too. I need to ask somebody that just despises wrestling what they're going to think when Roman Reigns shows up more and more, when Seth Rollins shows up, when Cody Rhodes, when an Otis shows up on some Ocho channel. You're going to be sick of WWE in a bit if you're just a sports fan.
Do you think, because I think that this the answer to this, it's a simple question, but I think it's a really big deal. Do you think WWE shows, Raw and SmackDown, PLEs, get results coverage on nightly SportsCenter? Like they go, you think so?
Happened.
Okay. Really? Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It talked about Tiffy and defending their title and all that kind of
stuff. Wow. That's huge. That's enormous.
Yeah. That's big. Yeah.
Wow. That combined with them removing AEW coverage from their website, that's a lot of 18 eyeballs. To 34 eyeballs specifically, mm-hmm. 18 to 34 eyeballs, male too. That's what WWE covets, right? That's what they're so hungry for, that 18 to 34 demo. And I think, you know, coverage on SportsCenter, it sounds simple. It sounds rudimentary, but I think that's going to be huge exposure for them.
Especially when you get some old school names like Chris Jericho, that's going to keep the like, oh, I remember that guy. Mm-hmm. Jericho's back in WWE. That's cool. Oh, he did that. Oh, that's kind of funny. I'm going to tune in. And I'm sorry, dude. I think you nailed it too. The reactors and things of that sort are jobs now, or not in the sense of like they're jobs. We don't get paid for it. But I'm saying like that part of the industry could get wedged out by ESPN coverage. They could be happy by showing the ESPN Sports Center anchor talking about John Cena's return or John Cena's match. And they're like, cool, that's what we wanted. We got this reaction. Let's just move on through. The only question mark I have is like the WWE does lean on a lot on social media and they love social media numbers. So we could still find our place in that. But I do agree with you that the era of the PLE reaction to WrestlePalooza, that ain't going to fly with Disney, man. I have yet to see any Disney reaction to a movie or a series or anything like that on TikTok make a living off of that. No way. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you. I think Raw, SmackDown, NXT, that's still going to be fine because that's not on the ESPN network. But me as a...
the head of the snake,
I'm not touching this, brother. I'm just not gonna touch WrestlePalooza. I'll do my watch party, but posting clips, I think that's GG. I think the sun has set on that. You could try and play with fire, but brother, you're not playing with fire, you're playing with a freaking nuke now. that it's Disney. Aha! We're time to launch the nukes.
Oh, boy. Get him, Goofy.
Yuck, yuck. Is that con man streaming our content? Yuck, yuck. Time to get banned just like your AEW coverage. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Are you saying it's...
I don't know.
It's yuck.
Yuck, yuck, not, yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Is that what he sounds like?
No, stop it. You're like, it's like you sound, you're eating a glizzy. Quit it. Quit it. Quit it. It's yuck, yuck.
That's
it's
what I yuck. Said. Yuck, yuck, no, yuck.
This is why we're never going to get picked for anything. No one's going to sponsor us. No one's going to get no VPN sponsorship. Nothing. No sports energy drink. No Prime. No, nothing. Like WWE's not going to knock on a door because you're sitting there going, yuck, 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 the whole entire time.
That's funny. That's the sound he made. Oh, well, news to me.
Oh, you're so dumb.
Whatever, man. Whatever. You're the one wearing a bucket hat with toys around you.
Hell yeah, dude. I like this hat.
You know what I'm saying?
I like this hat.
Well, you know, I, for as much bitching and whining we've done about this ESPN deal doesn't impact me at all. It doesn't impact me like as a viewer at all. I'm still on Netflix. I'm still watching everything under one roof. So international WWE fans, brother, I dread the end of the 5-year contract with Netflix. I dread it because I'm so happy as a customer getting everything under one roof. And you just know that once this deal ends, we're going to get piecemealed internationally as well. I wouldn't be surprised.
TSN is going to come in, right? Is that what it is?
Your TSN in Canada? Yeah, TSN is like an arm of ESPN here in Canada. But they cover AEW. Like AEW is on TSN here in Canada.
Not anymore, pal. Jesus. Hey, quickly, speaking of the hijinks and things of that sort, you called it with Bailey. You did. Mm-hmm. You called it with Bailey. The hugger Bailey's in there too.
She's in there, man.
Stopping us now. She's gonna come out, and I cannot wait. I think they do. I think they are doing the three faces of Mick Foley with Bailey.
Well, do you think that that's like a permanent thing, or do you think that they do three faces for a couple of weeks until it coalesces into what should be a proper heel turn? As she struggles with the morality of both sides, and it's her struggle that eventually leads to a heel turn. I say this because I don't think that there's any need for Hugger Bailey, like a long-term presence for Hugger Bailey, but I think right now there's a demand for a big heel with Naomi on hiatus.
Maybe she comes out with like a Thunder Rosa, like one half is this, and then the other half has a ponytail like Hugger Bailey, you know, like a split down the middle, like Jekyll and Hyde type of vibe. Okay, remember the three faces of Foley? I don't know if you did. Like eventually it just became boiled down to Mick Foley.
Yeah, it just became like Foley, yeah.
At the Royal Rumble, all three of them showed up and they all entered it at the Rumble. I mean, that'd be a fun spot to do with Bailey where she enters the Rumble three times. I think this is just a way to find a temperature check to see which one survives out of the three. Which gets the most pop? Which gets the most buzz? Which one gets the most traction out of the three versions of Bailey? She's been saying she's been directionless and lost for these 13 years. After these 13 years, she doesn't know where to go. So maybe she's just trying to see what the WWE universe is attracted to. Do they like Ding Dong Karen Bailey? Do they like Hugger Bailey? Or do they just like Bailey? Maybe the crowd goes, Bailey, why don't you just be who you are within, Bailey? The one that's inside.
Yeah.
Hey, I look cool doing this with a bucket hat. Yeah.
Because the bucket hat does kind of, it's right? Kind of like Southern Bayou. So it does kind of have that vibe. I think
so
the most.
Uncle Howdy should have a bucket hat.
he has a top hat.
Yeah, but that's a borderline like milady, you know.
that's a Reddit mod had. Okay. So I will say this because I don't know exactly where this is going to land. I think the most important thing that's coming out of this is the fact that we're talking about Bailey. And we're talking about Bailey in a curious sense. You know, right now, Bailey. Dear Bailey, you have my curiosity. You don't yet have my attention. We have to see what comes out of this for my attention to really be there, for me to really be like, I'm in. I'm in for a penny, in for a pound. Right now, what she has is my curiosity. I'm paying attention. I want to see where this goes. And that's more than I can say for anything that Bailey has done since WrestleMania 40. Is that an over-exaggeration? I don't think it is. I really think that post-WrestleMania 40, this is the most fascinating, interesting thing that Bailey has done. But could it be terrible? It could be. But my curiosity is there, and I want to see them explore this even more.
So who is the foil? Who's her? Is it Lyra?
It's Lyra. They're already setting up Lyra for sure. And I think it could be hilarious hijinks with Lyra. One week she's being loved and hugged by Hugger Bailey, and then the next week is like, "Shut up, you idiot!" We get that Karen, the like role you. Model Bailey. Yeah, like me. You know, she refuses to put Lyra on the thumbnail. They start arguing over that. Then people start wanting Lyra on the thumbnail, but then Bailey's like, "No, it's not gonna happen." It's it's bad for the algorithm, brother, but that could happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite thing is sending you random comments from people. Did someone say something like Cody Rhodes and finishing the story? Like,
it's Lyra.
It's never going to happen, right? It's never going to happen, right?
Yeah, you're never going to get on the thumbnail. Yeah. Listen, Sanjay.
What if I had 100K subs?
If you get to 100K subs, then you have a seat at the table. That's an important thing. Having a seat at the table so that we can have a big boy conversation. But right now, this isn't the big boy conversation. You're a pathetic little amoeba, as far as I'm concerned. And amoebas don't get on the thumbnail. So get this man to 100K subs so that I can formally shut him down as an adult.
Deal. At least I'll have 100K subs.
Lyra is definitely the foil here. It's the one that makes the most sense. Lyra is already kind of in this like crisis mode of like, what is going on with Bayley? Are you seeing this? Can somebody do something? And she seems far enough removed now from the IC title picture. It doesn't look like they're going to be pivoting Lyra to SmackDown for the US title or for a women's world title. Lyra is in stasis, and she's in stasis because we're waiting for the metamorphosis of Bayley to end.
Like a butterfly.
Yep. Or a moth. Right? You don't know what's in the cocoon.
Like a Gojira movie, dude.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that. That's one of my favorite movies, you know, where the scientist is like, we must protect this cocoon. Please don't destroy it. And then out comes the worst thing for humanity.
Dude, cocoons are crazy. The metamorphosis of a caterpillar to a butterfly, like, make that make sense, brother. How does that happen?
Has there ever been a WWE talent that was like when they first appeared, a cocoon turned to butterfly? Would it be John Cena, right? He is cocoon, sure. And then he flourished into a beautiful butterfly?
I would say that, yeah, he his cocoon stage is Doctor of Thugonomics. His caterpillar stage was prototype, cocooned into Doctor of Thugonomics. You're like, okay, I'm interested. What's in there?
Yeah.
And then out came out the greatest of all time, the Never Seen 17. Did you see that Novak Djokovic was introduced as the Never Before 24, his 24 Grand Slams? I was like, that's pretty hype. The Never Before 24? That's sick. Yeah.
ESPN influence.
There you go. There you go, ladies and gents. There you go. I have a gripe though, my friend, with everything that's going on. I cannot stress how horrible of an idea it is that Dom and AJ are not in Clash in Paris. And I don't want to hear this nonsense of like, Santi, you're overreacting. They're still in Paris. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. One, because it's after Clash in Paris, so it's going to be the same people that are there who are going to be just more tired. They just are. Two, it's Monday. There's going to be less people there. There's going to be less people at Raw than there will be at Clash in Paris. And three, the biggest one of them all, people don't remember matches on Raw. They remember matches on PLEs. Before we went live, I said to Sancho, what do people say about that amazing TLC match that happened on the SmackDown after WrestleMania? They don't say, what a memorable match, greatest SmackDown match of all time. Everyone just collectively, instinctly says, that should have been on WrestleMania. That's going to happen here again, man. What a fumble. You have Dominic Mysterio, somebody who is already a cornerstone of like the youth movement in the WWE. He's going to be a pillar of heels in WWE for the next 15 plus years. You have Dominic Mysterio, AJ Styles, who is basically a god in Paris. You have a WWE that loves their viral moments. What are we doing? I get maybe the logic here is, well, we know it's going to be such a big moment that we want to put it in front of as many eyeballs as possible on Monday Night Raw. Okay, if you know people want to see this, wouldn't it financially make sense to make those people watch you on Peacock? It would, but now that Peacock deal is over, they're like, who cares? We're phoning it in for Clash in Paris. We're building towards WrestlePalooza. This is a travesty, man. This is a bigger mistake than J.R. Smith not realizing that the clock was running out. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
This is overthinking the situation, man. It's the butt fumble all over again. It was right there. Man. It's a simple handoff. Simple handoff, baby.
Just give it to Marshawn Lynch. Just hand it off to Marshawn Lynch.
Russell, yeah, don't throw. Dude, all,
have you seen? Wow. Have you seen the? I think it's the show, The League. The show's in The League. It's I think they're at the beach, and Marshawn Lynch is like, "Oh, can you hand me a beer?" And the guy's like, "Oh yeah, 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 let me throw it to you." No, 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 just hand it to me. No, I'm gonna throw it to you. Just hand it to me. Just hand me the beer.
I still remember to this day, like Richard Sherman, dude, just screaming his head off. No, when all that's happening, as if something was being ripped from him. But yeah, dude, it's the same thing I've always been saying. That's why I said that Tala Tonga should debut at SummerSlam. It would have been a much more memorable debut.
Yes, because, I mean, you're not wrong. The debut of JC Mateo was more memorable than the debut of Tala Tonga. Wait, no, Tala Tonga did debut at a PLE. What are you talking about?
No,
he
talking about his first match.
Oh, no, who cares? The debut is the appearance is what matters.
Yeah. The most memorable debut out of the Bloodline was Tonga Loa almost missing his cue.
Yeah, that was awesome. The GOAT, Tonga Loa.
Then the referee, I don't know how, got some aftertouch.
Dude, that referee got pulled by a poltergeist ghost. I don't know how that referee pulled himself out of there.
He must have abs for days because they like clinched onto the mat and went, you know what I mean? There was just no way. I agree about the whole thing about AJ and Dom. It's they want it on Netflix. That's what's the only thing that could come clear to me that it happened. And when Adam Pearce was saying like, "Oh, I'm sick of this. We're gonna have this settled," and when he said Raw, I groaned. I was like, "Oh no!" But yes, because the only thing I could say that is because when we do reviews and we go back in the past, it's very difficult to stop and look at a Monday night. Like, yeah, someone could go, "Oh man, actually, this SmackDown match was a banger, one of the best of all time." But unless they re-put that out in WWE or it stays on a list, like the top 10 matches or top 10 moments, we're never going to go back to it. If it was on Clash, we'd say, dude, Clash 2025, the actual pop-off of AJ Styles and winning and the craziness of the whole thing shaking, that's all going to be gone, man. It's all going to be gone. But hey, as a reactor, I want more weekly televisions with awesome moments.
So that's true. Yeah, we need content.
We need content because the mouse is coming for everything, like we said. Other than that, I don't know, man. I feel like Dom is ready. Like, Dom is prime and ready for his moment, and I want to share what happened at Clash. In the sense of him, his dominance of winning, I know you said AJ Styles winning, and yay, that's the whole thing that they want. But I want Dom to continue winning because I want him to be a two-time champion, a two-belt champion with the mega champion and the IC title. Because I think Dom adds so much to the IC title if he was the mega champion at the same time.
I totally hear that argument. My other side of the coin is they could be doing the Trick Williams road with Dominic Mysterio, where it's like, hey, let's have you drop the IC title and let's have you fully focus on being a world champion of one of our brands. And unlike Trick Williams in TNA, where they're kind of like half in, half out, this is just a handshake deal, that's an asset of the WWE. So you can still feature him on WWE programming as a strong world champion while spending time over in Mexico. He could defend the mega championship on Raw, on WWE PLEs. I think, me personally, if that's the case, if that is what they're going to do, if they're going to feature him heavily on WWE programming and in AAA as the mega campeón, I would rather him focus on being the mega champion so that the Intercontinental Championship could flourish with AJ Styles. Because AJ Styles would be we're not transitioning over to an experiment. That's a known commodity. AJ will be fine and the championship will be fine. But the mega championship being featured heavily on Raw and PLEs, that is new. And just having him solely focus on that, I think, is the right call. I think this could go either way, though.
Do you think, my question for you then, is Vikingo, we already talked about him, he needs he needs like that Batman extract out of there, you know what I mean? The Fulton?
He needs a Fulton, yeah. Good reference, jeez.
Thank you, a little Metal Gear as well.
Yeah.
He needs to be able to get out of there because, I don't know, you can't have him try to regain the Mega Championship in Mexico.
No,
you gotta have him in Raw,
brother. Right? That ship has sunk. That ship has sunk of Hijo del Vikingo as champion.
By green fire sinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. I think with Vikingo, it's gonna be generational hate in Mexico.
So let's just pull him out of there and put him on the main roster or NXT.
Can you salvage him? You think it's done? Like, that's it?
I think it's done because of, like, how lucha culture is in Mexico. I think it's done. Yeah. These types of things, this type of heat, this type of memory last, I'm not kidding, literal generations in lucha libre. El nieto del vikingo, the grandson of vikingo, will be hated in Mexico.
I wish it was. I know the WWE doesn't want him heel, but I think that would have been the thing to save him, for him to build himself, dig himself out of that hole.
No, I agree. Like, if the right move is to turn him heel, if he was going to be an asset that only gets used in AAA. But I think that Vikingo is a guy that WWE wants in their, like, major WWE promotions. So heel doesn't work for what their original plan was. Don't forget that, like, it was Vikingo that was right there in the announcement of the purchase of AAA. That's who WWE sees as, like, the guy that they can market in North America, the guy that they can exploit financially, and you need him as a babyface for that.
Is it because AEW had him first?
AEW had him first, yeah. What's your point?
I'm saying, like, because the AEW brought him over to the stateside, right? Oh, they got him introduced to the United States market.
Maybe
they want to keep that asset off the table because that's like another quote unquote win for WWE. That, oh, look, Tony Khan, you had Vikingo appear in all your pay-per-views, and he was a big major factor, had a great match against Kenny Omega. And you let that asset go to WWE, a la Stephanie Vaquette.
I was going to say, Stephanie Vaquette is probably the best example that exists out of that, of AEW introducing one of these current WWE assets to the wider North American audience, and then WWE scooping them up.
Bozilla?
But I've been watching Bozilla for a bit, actually. She's awesome. I didn't watch I haven't been able to watch Forbidden Door yet, but I know Bozilla is.
Can we talk about Heatwave? Can I say something about Heatwave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Heatwave. I have an issue with the finish of Obafemi and Javon Evans. I feel that the WWE, like we talked about, they overthink it, overproduce it, overcooked it. Referees shouldn't be involved so heavily in this finish. When a referee counts to three, that's it, brother. There's no one referee overturning another referee. There's no replay. There's no all the call in the field stands. There's no after review type of situation. There was a 1-2-3 that happened on the mat. The referee that took over came in, was there. He is the new authority. And then the other referee wakes up and notices the outside. Too complicated already. Is this a mess? I don't like referees stopping a moment a la AEW with MJF and
Hangman. That was worse.
I know. It's still bad.
Wild that they both happened on the same day. I agree with you, by the way. I'm with you. You're
telling me that a referee who is supposed to be a 1 HP commodity out there who gets blown on and all of a sudden they're out for the entire match could stop MJF with two hands? That's AEW side of things. But on WWE, you're telling me that a referee who took a big forearm hit from Javon Evans and or whatever it was and flies out of the ring is able to recover so quickly? That's my only thing. I feel that the WWE has this notion of protecting assets, and they protect it with such an iron will, and they see so much greatness from Obafemi that they don't want to see him lose to Javon Evans. Clear as day to me, Santi, as someone who doesn't watch NXT as much as you do, but as someone that's fly-by casual, checking out the PLE, that they want Obafemi to lose to Ricky Saints. Like, that is the most clear sign to me. If it's not Javon Evans, who took the beast down, who probably has some of the most logical things a la like a spider and a wasp to take out Obafemi. And for him to lose and to get blown out of the ring, great moment, by the way, thrown out of the ring and land on the table.
Wild, wild, wild. Well, the match was awesome, but I'm with you, man. That ending I didn't love. Somehow it's more logical than the bizarre ending in TNA, because at the very least here in the NXT one, in AEW, you're right. Sorry, yeah. I misspoke. Because in the NXT finish, ref is down on the outside. New ref comes in. He counts the pin 1-2-3. Obafemi's leg is on the rope. He counts the three, but
it's underneath the rope.
Underneath the rope. That's right. At the same time, the ref wakes up on the outside and says, "No, the foot was on the rope." It's like, okay, at least underneath the rope.
That matters.
Okay, it's at least somebody saw it. A ref saw it real time. The AEW one doesn't make any sense. Hangman's foot is on the rope. The ref counts to three.
Oh, that moment, yeah.
MJF celebrates. Then the ref wakes up and says, wait a second, his foot was on the rope. Well, first of all, you just fucking woke up. You didn't see it when you counted to three. Who's to say he put his foot on the rope after you counted three? That one actually makes no sense. Like, legitimately no sense.
I'm adding to that ref stopping the ring punch from MJF too.
Like, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, dude, I'm with you. I think that both, it's crazy that those both happened on the same night, on the same yes. day. The AEW one to me is more backwards than the NXT one, but the NXT one to me, it's not that it doesn't make sense. The AEW one does not make sense. The NXT one to me, I'm with you. I think it's just unnecessarily overcomplicated. It's like, okay, we want Oba to win, but we want to do it in a way where you can make the argument that Javon should have won that so that we can explore Javon and Oba further down the line. I get that logic, but ref counted at three, man. In my world, back in my day, that's sacred. That's holy. He counted to three. That's it. That's all. New champion.
And then Oba could have said, I didn't lose because look, bingo. The other ref, right? There. Then you have a thing, and then you could say, well, Oba looks strong. I think you could also do a thing is just keep it out of the ref's hands, right? Maybe Javon Evans goes for a move and then Oba just yeets him out of the ring. And then you're like, oh my God, Oba Femi went to a new level of ferociousness. And he's gone a little bit more edgier and just more violent throwing someone out of the ring like that. Like it's the most violent bump I've seen in a long time in NXT. And Javon Evans has been part of a lot of violent bumps, but regardless,
too many.
It just feels that things like that backfire on the asset that they're trying to protect. Mm-hmm. That's just the one thing I gotta say that. You know what it is? The most frustrating thing about WWE 2K games is the stupid rope break rules. And that's what they did.
Rope break with the rope break right in the middle of the screen.
You're like, no, I'm trying to do a handicap challenge and I gotta get this one guy down and then I gotta go over and pin the other one. And when I pin the other, rope break.
Oh, God. That is the worst. You giving me PTSD from that sound. Rope break.
But the rest of the heat wave was cool. I vibe with it and I enjoyed the entire thing. I love the venue. The venue looked cool. I like the rest of the card. I can't believe Ash. By the way, you're not supposed to have a monitor. You're not supposed to have headphones. You're supposed to eat that.
I'm supposed to eat that.
How dare you besmirch the quality of Ash by elegance.
Dude, I love her concierge. I think that guy plays the role so well. He plays the role so well. Heatwave, okay. I loved Heatwave. I get the ending, but the match was amazing nonetheless. I went into the watch along, and people are like, "This is a mid card. This is not interesting." And I warned people. I told them, every time NXT comes to the table with a mid-ass card that doesn't look great on paper, it always delivered. There wasn't a single bad match on that show. Even though like it completely backfired on them to have Team Canada versus Team USA in Massachusetts was cheering for Canada to the point where Ethan Page had to get on the mics like, stop cheering for us. You're not going to get citizenship. He's just trying so hard to get heat on Canada. But it's Chelsea Green and Ethan Page, who everyone loves, going up against gold medalist Tyra Mae Steele, who no one knows at that point in WWE, and Tavion Heights, who people do like. But like when it was just so over the top Americana, and seeing Massachusetts, a state known for the birth of your country, booing Team America was awesome. It was great. No, the show was great. It really was very, very good.
The founding fathers are rolling in their grave, dude. Benjamin Franklin's tilted, brother.
Hey, what's Benjamin Franklin known for? What did he do? Is he
invented
the light bulb? That's right.
Remember that Office episode?
I do.
Ben Franklin, is it true that you had a girlfriend as well and a wife?
Oh, you're a saucy one. You have to watch The Office to get that.
Oh, man.
You a saucy one?
And then he ties the cherry stem with his tongue. Yeah.
That's a great episode. The context of the episode is they hire
Benjamin Franklin impersonator thinking it's a stripper.
Jim did. Jim did on purpose.
On purpose, yeah. They think they're getting a stripper, but they're getting a history lesson from a cosplayer of Benjamin Franklin. Anyways. Karrion Kross. Did you see that? In GC dub in the Indies, coming in as one of the monks of Matt Cardona. And then with the big reveal, the double cross, no pun intended, it's him and Scarlett. It's now Killer Kross, by the way. Back to that indie name, Killer Kross, coming out to help. What is logical? It makes sense. Coming out to help Shotzi Blackheart, who is friends with Scarlett and make all of those awesome paranormal Halloween videos. What'd you think of it, man?
It's a bummer. It's the end of the work or not work thing. It is interesting to hear like the kind of how the sausage was made in terms of contract negotiations. Because, you know, Karrion has gone throughout, or Killer Kross has gone out and talked about how those negotiations happened, how they had an offer for him. And they basically, the offer had no, he wanted to know the numbers and how they got to the number. And then they only gave him 24 hours. And then Baron Corbin echoed those same things, that they're not going to give you their metrics. They're not going to tell you how much money you made on t-shirts and things of that sort. They're not going to give you their social media impact, their ratings. They're not going to tell you all that because they're going to try to make sure that they, what they offer you is what they think you're worth, when the numbers may disprove that. Also, Baron Corbin talked about how when you're, you know, when you're not going to get re-signed, when you all of a sudden you're just not appearing on TV for 5 months. And then when that happens, your numbers go down. You're like, dude, well, how, of course these numbers are down because I'm not on TV. And so you look at all these issues, and then you look at how Karrion Kross's journey as the WWE superstar, and he was kind of not appearing on TV. He slowly lost his faction, right, of the Final Testament, appearing less and less, now appearing on commercials. And then he had that thing that happened at WrestleMania on the podcast that he was telling everybody was at work, and yet Triple H said he thought it wasn't at work, and Triple H thought he was going for business for himself. Putting Karrion Kross's character in a weird position here. He's getting uber popular. He's basically the talk of the town after WrestleMania. So all the other superstars, or quote unquote other superstars, because I'm sure many of them may not care, or many of them, we don't know how they feel. Whereas they're not the headline coming out of WrestleMania. It is Karrion Kross, which is a no-no in the WWE's eyes. So you have all that going on. And then you and I debating, was it work, was it not a work? And then he shows up in GCW. And then he cuts this crazy promo afterwards where he's playing a violin.
Because more swear words than I've heard in a long time in a promo, too.
Just laced with it. And he just breaks the violin. He's like, I guess it wasn't a work. My favorite part about the entire thing is that he's going up against Matt Cardona, which is kind of beautiful when you really think about it. Matt Cardona, same thing, got himself over as Zack Ryder, sent out to the Indies. Still searching a way, wants to get back to WWE. Karrion Kross cut a promo in his kitchen, about a 5-minute video, very intense, talking about, oh, it's interesting how, you know, Mike Cardona, you want to go back to WWE, and here I am. I just got out of there. I loved it. I loved what he's doing with it, and I'm very interested in that match in GCW that's going to happen in October. One thing that I've noticed with Karrion Kross, when he just cuts a promo, just him and like us, camera on, in our rooms, I think there is an authenticity to that that people do enjoy. When I looked at Rusev and Sheamus's vignettes, you got B-roll, you have crazy music, you have all these things, these light bulbs and strobe lights. I'm like, man, this cuts the intensity in half. Because Rusev is saying some crazy intense things, but my focus is pulled everywhere. And I do believe, Santi, the Karrion Krosses of the world, the indie stars and the Matt Cardonas, being limited by what they have and being able to have authentic promos being posted online, being able to talk to the camera, talk to the people as them, quote unquote, selves, because they're still working. I think we are going to see a shift in wrestling fans these days. They're going to go, ooh, what's going on over here? I like this authenticity. I love being able to sit in this intense 5-minute promo with Killer Kross talking about Matt Cardona. And then Matt Cardona quickly reposts it and quotes, I'm going to cut a promo from my kitchen tomorrow. Good stuff. Now I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think of the poetry of it being against Cardona. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a really, really great point. We are talking, like you said, about a guy that did everything to get himself over. using the internet to his advantage when no one else was using it as well as he was, became somebody that the fans wanted, but it wasn't the person that the WWE machine wanted to push, and therefore was punished for doing such a great job of getting himself over. You have no idea who I'm describing there, Karrion Kross or Cardona, because they're the same side of the same coin, which is fascinating. Yeah. It really, really is that we're seeing the two guys that represent the same thing. I'm sure that was probably by design. I didn't initially think of that. It's a really good catch.
And at the same time, when you really think about it, though, it's like, but Matt Cardona's mission is different. He wants to go back. Mm. We don't know what Karrion wants to do now, right? What Karrion's goal is. And regardless, I do think because of the internet, because of the X and IG, he's able to survive. And I'm like, now I'm intrigued and I can keep up with it. And so overall, it's I think the WWE is losing a huge asset. I think he posted his numbers that he had like 1 million views somewhere, Killer Kross. And it's like, yeah, dude, wouldn't you want a superstar like that? But like I said, I think the WWE is in the business of curating a story, curating booking, pushing who they want. And the volatile, like, who knows, dude? We could have easily turned on Karrion or Killer Kross. We could have said, we're done with this toy and dropped him. And then what if the WWE machine? It's like a big boat, Santi. You're trying to course correct. Even though there's someone that went overboard here, it takes forever for the boat to turn around to pick up that person. So it could be something like that the WWE just felt like it was too much of a, I guess, not a problem, just too much of a lift, a heavy lift to adjust the entire course for Karrion Kross. And him now being indie, no red tape, he could do a lot of crazy things. And by you saw that promo, Scarlett got crazy and Shotzi got crazy. And we'll see where they go, man. I could only hope good things from them. And if he ends up in WWE, it'd be like a Cody Rhodes or a Drew McIntyre situation. But I think we should really enjoy these moments where he's entirely free, see what he can do.
Yeah, I think for those that have been chanting, we want Kross, I mean, you can get him. Like, you just have to follow wherever it is that he's going. He's not going to be as easily accessible as episodes of Raw or SmackDown or whatever, but he's there and he's going to be delivering an unfiltered version, probably the best version of himself. So if you are a Karrion Kross fan in WWE, you should absolutely be paying attention to what he's going to be doing here in the indies, because I think it's going to – I really think it's going to be special, man. I really think it's going to be special. Speaking of indies, we can't go this whole episode without talking about what happened at Nox Pro with Raja Jackson. Holy hell, dude. Holy hell. There are things that happen in professional wrestling that split the community, right? The death of Hulk Hogan. You were either on the Hulk Hogan's a terrible person, Hulk Hogan was my childhood hero and I want to honor him. It's always this split down the middle and you're sort of forced to pick a side. And regardless of what side you pick, you are a piece of trash in the eyes of the other side. This is the one thing that's recently happened in wrestling where we're all on the one side. This was awful. This is terrible. For those that maybe are not up to date and you haven't seen this, I'll warn you, if you want to look it up, it's graphic. It's not graphic in the sense that it's like gory or anything, but it's graphic in the sense that you are watching a man pummel another unconscious man with punches to the head 21 times. I'll try and explain everything that happened here in the Sparks note. Raja Jackson, a kick streamer, red flag number one. If you see clips that have the little kick logo, more often than not, if they've gone viral, it's for the wrong reasons. This is one of those situations. Raja Jackson went to a Nox Pro event, which is Rikishi's school, a professional wrestling school that was WWE ID'd. And there was an incident before the show where there was a miscommunication where a wrestler named Psycho Stu thought that Raja Jackson was a performer, was another wrestler. And I could see that confusion happening considering Raja has a cameraman. He's clearly there performing in some way as a live streamer. And in the jabbing back and forth verbally, Psycho Stu grabs a gimmicked can of empty beer and hits Raja Jackson over the head. Clearly not hard enough to hurt him because that's not the intention. Raja pissed, angry, felt disrespected. Clearly that was a spot that
was meant to be a wrestling spot, because immediately Psycho Stu, you could hear him was like, are you not going to sell it? What's going on here? I think the intention of that for wrestling fans would have been Raja gets hit with the gimmick can. He goes, oh, brother, I'm going to get you back at Super Slam. That's what you'd expect. But instead, what we got was a very heated exchange where apologies had to be exchanged. Apologies were accepted. It's a really important thing. Time goes on. Several matches go on. We're now like an hour after this incident. And Raja Jackson is basically getting clowned by his chat. I think that's an important part of this story, because I think this is what egged him on. His chat saying, basically calling him a bitch. Raja being told that you're not going to actually retaliate. This is all just fake. This is all work. Go ahead.
You're forgetting that the other pro wrestler was telling Raja he should get his receipt before he sat down ringside.
Sure.
Yeah. So there, it's like the work is in, like the work is being played out.
Yeah. It looks like work could be happening here. The promoter of Knox Pro invited Raja to come in and get his licking, which would have been like, hey, come get your heat back. Come get your spot back, slam them or whatever. But the chat was saying, this is fake. This is a fake crash out is what they kept saying. And Raja, man, with all the evidence in the world for the police to use, is like, nope, I'm going to go in there and I'm actually going to mess them up. You guys are going to see. I'm not kidding. I'm going to hurt them and I'm not going to stop. All of the clues and hints were there that this was an actually unhinged human being that was about to commit one of the most awful things that I've ever seen in professional wrestling. Matches go by. So this isn't an instant spur of the moment. This is now a premeditated attack, Sancho. Psycho Stu's match is happening. Raja Jackson slides in. Cameraman is still filming everything. He goes in, slams him hard. Really, really hard. I don't know, but it looked to me like he was already knocked out from just the slam.
Yeah, well, Stu kind of helped, like, Stu didn't understand, like, this is the moment we work. Yeah. He helps him. Like, he gets up, you know, he gets up for him. Yeah.
Yeah, that slam looked harsh. It looked brutal, but it didn't stop there.
Like a spine buster, but there was no
Alabama spine buster.
It was like almost a slam. It was like a slam down. Yeah. You took a towel and just went like that.
Yeah.
Whipped it.
Yeah. It looked malicious. The slam looked malicious. And then he gets there and then goes on top of him and starts just wailing on him. And I'm not talking worked punches. I'm talking MMA. No, dude, these aren't even sports punches. Those were street fight punches trying to end this dude. 21 unprotected punches to the head is where the story is at.
And it takes a while because for someone to stop him, because people are all on book that this was part of
the work. Right?
The work.
Here's the thing, too. Like, I've seen people try and blame the referee. Why wouldn't the referee jump in? Dude, this...
It's not UFC.
That's an actor. That's an actor in there pretending to referee a fake fight. You have to remember, that's not a UFC referee that knows how to handle these situations. So I put absolutely no blame on the referee at all. It took a while for the wrestlers to come in and break it up. At that point, it's too late. Apparently, Psycho Stu's choking on his own blood, choking on his own teeth. Just brutal, man. Just absolutely brutal, brutal stuff. Sancho, had this beatdown happen at the moment of the can, it's a different conversation. You could have said Raja didn't know what was going on. He thought he was being attacked. He defended himself from what he thought was a hostile situation. But we are talking about a premeditated attack like 40 minutes after that. And him saying, I'm going to do it. So for me, when I see, now that I've seen all of the different angles, all of that, Raja Jackson, oh my God, that's a criminal offense in every way, shape, and form. Number two, Knox Pro is absolutely at fault. They are. I'll tell you why, Sancho. I did a spot with an indie organization. You know what they did with that spot? It wasn't just like, hey, go in there and do your thing. No, they took me to the back. They talked to me. They talked to me about the dangers of if I do this thing wrong. They told me how to do things right. They told me how to get through all of the different spots. I'm talking about the AJ Francis chair thing. They taught me everything to make sure that I went out there and made the business look good, I didn't make myself look like a fool, but more importantly than anything, I didn't hurt anybody. From what I'm seeing in that live stream, because again, all of it was live stream, none of that exchange happened. None of it at all. But also, after that heated moment in the back, shouldn't somebody have been watching this dude's live stream? This dude was telling the world what he was going to do. He was telling everybody what he's going to do, and he was able to go in there and do it unhinged, unstopped, unabided. And I think it's because of that, Sancho, that WWE pulled their WWE ID affiliation with Knox Pro, which is a big deal, man. Knox Pro, that's Rikishi's organization. That's where a lot of the Samoan dynasty comes from. And I do not blame WWE for pulling from Knox Pro, because there is a major professional gap there from Knox Pro that led to this moment. The big problem, and the one that should be going to jail, is 100% Raja Jackson. I hope that you're on the side of that. I don't even think this is a controversial topic. It's one side. One side is 100% in the right here. We're seeing a couple of people trying to make the argument that it's fine. And I think I laid it out pretty well. Had the beatdown happened immediately after the can, I think there would have been something there. But no, this is a premeditated attack, bro. It's awful. One of the worst things that I've ever seen in professional wrestling.
Yeah, and it definitely took all the headlines from everything, from AEW, from WWE. I could not go anywhere on the timeline or For You page anywhere. It was always this. It's just a sign that this is a very complicated problem, and that in terms of a kick or any stream audience could influence someone to do the wrong thing. The idea for chasing likes or any kind of like numbers or virality, if you chase that, it could turn south so quickly. And we see that in all different types of platforms and different, even like IG and things like that, where people are doing these car meetups and, you know, they're all stunts and things like that. People want to chase the glory of fame, you know, compound that with being the famous son of Rampage Jackson on top of that, right? Always people coming after you and having this notion of defending your pride and defending your dad's pride. And dude, we've been a part of many chats and things like that, or comment section. They're going to come after you, right? They're ferocious piranhas right out there. And some of these could be bots. It couldn't even be real people, right? It's bots who are just latching onto words that they see. And, you know, it's just crazy to me.
It's people then, on the other side, by the way, that wouldn't say that to your face. They wouldn't say that to your face.
No, and it is a tragic situation. And, you know, we all seen the results of that. And Psycho Stu, who's a, you know, suffers from PTSD, who's a veteran of the army, veteran of the armed forces. It's a sad thing, dude. And, you know, luckily he's alive still. I mean, luckily that he's still with us.
Luckily is really important, man.
Yeah. We don't know what state he's going to be in after all this. And of course, if his, you know, just his life has changed. I think at the end of the day, if Raja does go to jail, I'm hoping that he does see some sort of, you know, make like he turns it around. He turns it around, and you can hope for the best for Raja in that you do not want such a young guy to continue down the wrong path, you know. And hopefully this is a wake-up call for Raja Jackson in some sort of way. But it's like when the youth of a person meets a traumatic or in a tragic situation, you just hoping that he sees the error of his ways, and if he pays the consequence, he pays it. And he's, like I said, lucky that Stu's alive, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's just it's brutal all around. I don't know what lawyer could possibly case, man.
It's fascinating, though. In the sense of that, just one step above professional wrestling, you know, the defense lawyer would be like, dude, he was supposed to be there. It's not his fault that he's not a trained professional. The promotion put him in this situation. I'm speaking as a
No, I totally hear you. Right. Because like we said, like this isn't just on Raja. It's also on the decision to put in somebody that isn't a professional wrestler in that environment without the consultation like they did with me beforehand.
It's just saying that the pro wrestling is not a game either. It really is not a game. It's a very serious professional type. That's why this is a professional wrestler, dude. We've watched a lot of backyard wrestling and things of that sort. The things could go like one inch here, one inch there. this is why you got to have professionals involved in these kind of angles, because as you can see, serious things could happen in the ring if it's all treated poorly. And it's the worst possible thing. But at the end of the day, everything is still developing. You know, LAPD is getting involved.
Mr. Beast is going to apparently pay the bills of Psycho Stew. Did you see that?
Mr. Psycho Stew. Yeah. I just hoping that the lesson is learned here, that especially influencers, man, it's just like, don't let chat rile you up that way, man. It's just crazy to me that was a catalyst. And
It was. A lot of people have only seen the beatdown and the can spot. Watch the whole thing. You'll see how much the chat was egging him on. And he took it too personally. It looked like everything was going to be fine, but then chat kept poking at him. And he had this moment of like, yeah, I can't get clowned here, and took things not even just too far, just like, oh, fucking to places where no one should ever go with that. I'm of the mind that this is clearly as day a crime. I hope the book gets thrown at Raja Jackson. Obviously, best case scenario is he learns from all of this and it never happens again. But that to me is a crime in every way, shape, or form. The defending this to me is make it make sense. You know, how can you escape out the door? It doesn't make sense to try and think that he's in the right. You cannot in any way, shape, or form think that this is okay or that he's in the right.
No, it blew my mind that there were so many pronounced names that are in defense. But it's just what it is, man, when it comes down to these moments when you don't look at the whole picture like you did, like yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the whole picture that what went down and that entire thing. And there's somebody who is a victim in all that, and that's Stu.
Stu.
You got to be there for Stu.
There is a GoFundMe for Stu that's hovering all over the place. You know, I'll put it in the description of the the YouTube upload, and I think we can put it in the description of the Patreon as well. Go check it out. Did you see that the guy he was facing in the match, I got to protect kayfabe, he still got the pin. He pinned Psycho Stu.
Pro wrestling's weird, bro. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he still pinned him because the cameraman for Raja stopped filming, but there a couple other angles have come out. And yeah, the guy's like, I gotta pin him. Weird time, man.
No, you don't.
I'm saying that was his logic. I gotta pin him.
Pin him, bro. Good lord, dude. Wrestling, like I said, wrestling is so bizarre.
You know why you shouldn't have done that? You shouldn't have done that because now it creates the illusion. Like, was this supposed to happen? Yeah, no, they should not. You're right. You're 100% right.
Look at Chris Jericho, who is an ultimate professional, when he knew that what's his face.
Pac. Yeah,
Pac was hurt, right? Neville, when he ripped his ankle. Essentially, Chris Jericho was like, well, we got to get out of here fast. Let's get out of here fast. I mean, yeah, Chris could have like, let's get out of the match, but he was like, I'm getting out of here fast. Let's keep this going. I'm going to get a DQ type of thing. Anyway, it's nutty, dude. Professional wrestling is a sport that is probably creates like the most question marks in the world.
It really makes me appreciate when I worked with AJ Francis, how much care he took of me.
He
warned me.
He told you. Yeah,
he told me.
Imagine if he didn't tell you.
Oh, but it's just so funny because he told me, okay, I'm gonna shove you and I'm gonna make it look real. I'm like, how hard can it be? I was like,
he
sent me flying, bro. But it made me appreciate working with AJ Francis. It made me really appreciate working with that. Tyler Turva made me appreciate working with the indie organization as well.
Destiny
Wrestling. They knew, okay, we have a guy here that doesn't know what he's doing. He's big. Let's have him come in early.
He could get really excited.
Could get really excited. Might do something wrong. They spent like an hour with me on that spot. I had Speedball Mike Bailey like explaining things to me as well. Like they took care of
the chair.
Me. How to hold a chair, how to make it look good, how to hit somebody in a way that it doesn't actually send them to the hospital. Cause that was a real chair that we use. I learned that these aren't gimmick chairs. So I see the appreciation
like I appreciate them taking care of me as a noob, as a mark in this world. Something that
just gonna ignore your laundry, huh?
Yeah, you hear it.
Yeah, of course. Someone commented on it last time. Where are you? Are you in the bowels of your house? Are you shunned into the basement?
Dude, I don't understand why my dryer machine just absolutely drops a Mozart banger. And it's over like 30 seconds. Like just stop. Just stop. You don't need to drop an 1800s banger here.
It sounded like someone was cashing in on you. My God.
is that Ludwig? Is that Ludwig Mozart or whatever the fuck his name is? Who's Beethoven. Ludwig Beethoven. Whatever, man. I'm not one of you people that knows all of these contemporary artists from the 1700s. I know Tupac.
Oh my goodness.
Brutal stuff, man. Brutal stuff.
Brutal stuff, man. The world of wrestling. But I'm hoping that the overall lesson is be careful who you let in your house. That's like the key thing, because the Knox Pro lost a lot, man. That WWE ID.
Oh, we got to talk about that. We should talk about that.
There was only like four promotions that had it. Cody Rhodes's the Nightmare Factory, which is
Nightmare Factory.
Nightmare Factory, Cody's in Dallas, or the Rhodes in Dallas, right? They had it too. Or in Austin, there was somewhere.
Seth Rollins. And Reality of Wrestling. Booker T's had it.
Okay.
So Knox is a rare thing to be able to have that designation. And that is financial backing that they're going to lose, right? Because that it was like supposed to be like support to help develop the next WWE ID stars. They're going to lose that, man. They are going to lose that. That is going to be a problem for them. And I genuinely do not blame WWE one iota. I think it's a good call. I think it's a good call to back out of that.
And they unfollowed Rikishi as well, the ID X account.
Well,
wild.
Where do we go from here? How do you transition out of this Jericho to WWE? Did you see?
It's real.
Did you see that Corey Graves dropped the line of the learning tree? They even said the word Judas on Raw.
No.
And now, to the untrained eye.
What have I become?
God. Now that I've been trained, anything I ever done. God, it's such a good entrance theme. This is a WWE playbook where they've got an impending free agent and they start dropping little lines like that. They did it with CM Punk. They did it with CM Punk saying things like and it was Corey Graves too, dropping the line of your hands are too small to box with God, which is a famous CM Punk line. And then within 2 months, CM Punk was back in WWE. There is precedent for this, man.
And then the WWE YouTube releasing some Jericho matches on their little YouTube channel, the archive.
Sancho covering Jericho versus Ryback.
Right.
I just covered Jericho. Cena versus Jericho too, dude. This is all coming together right now.
By the way, Ryback beat Jericho with a roll up.
Did you see Ryback commented on our reel?
He did?
Yeah. I posted, we were talking about Ryback, and he replied, feed me more, and then add his nutrition supplements company.
Dun, 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 dun. I thought about getting a Ryback cameo for the Ryback in Review. What's up, everybody? This is the big guy. You're watching Ryback in Review. But you know how much it costs? $500.
Oh, God. No, we can't be dropping 500 bones on that.
Cameo is literally a rough shot. Dude, I don't know if I tell this story, but I got Wayne Knight for my cameo for my wife. I wanted someone from Seinfeld. Wayne Knight was available. Good old Newman. And then he cut this promo about my wife turning 30 something. And then he was like, you're becoming a woman. You're turning a new leaf. You have your children. I'm like, what? Is this? But hey, Wayne Knight, here's my $300. Take it, brother. Cameo, you should be on Cameo. You should. Definitely.
You think I should do Cameo?
100%, dude. I watch a lot of some of the people on Cameo. Comedians make a lot of money on it, dude. But you just got to be on for them. You got to give the people what they want. Your dumb brain rot. That's what they want from you.
Okay. I've done favors for friends like, hey, man, my brother watches you all the time. Can you send him a video? I'm like, oh, God. All right.
Hey, this is for yuck, 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 yuck. My brother really enjoys you, especially when you're dressed like Snow White. Can you just wear the outfit, come out, and say happy birthday?
And don't ask, but he also wants to see your feet. Can you throw your feet in there?
Have you seen the one where Sugar Ray says, like, they make him do, like, a fake cameo? Like, the guy's like, hey, do a cameo, but tell that I've cheated on my brother's wife. And do you're the one that breaks the news because I can't be the one that does it. And it's dude, Sugar Ray.
There's a YouTuber that does that. Have you heard of John Breaks Bad News?
No.
Dude, his whole channel is $10 or whatever on his website. You send in the phone number that you want to call and you deliver the bad news. And sometimes it'll just be like, hey, I'm just calling you. I know you're at work right now. I'm calling on behalf of your son. He did, in fact, forget to take the chicken out of the freezer. So he is suggesting that you maybe pick a pizza up on the way home. And then and it'll be like as simple as that to like delivering news of like a horrible illness of like, hey, just want to like it gets the two extremes. But then there's also some awesome ones like, hey, this is John from John Breaks Bad News. Just wanted to let you know that all of your coworkers hate you. We do not like you. We think you're a miserable prick. And just I'm just delivering the message. I'm just the mailman here.
Santi delivers bad news via cameo.
I deliver bad news in brain rot. It make sense.
That would be the worst thing ever if you deliver bad news to me by getting a right back cameo to me. That'd be like, I would hate this.
It's a right back letting you know that it's another week of you not getting on the thumbnail.
Feed me more supplements.
Dude. That I died laughing at that comment. He's advertising his supplements. Yeah, go look at it. He's advertising his supplements.
It blows my mind that our reach goes from right back to Jelly Roll.
That's true.
To Karrion Kross.
The reach is there.
Dijak.
Yeah. The Dijak hijack.
What would be the biggest person that's replied to us in Wrestling School? Jelly Roll, probably.
It's Jelly Roll or Logan.
Logan Paul. But that's more of you. I'm talking about wrestling is cool.
I mean, it's Jelly Roll.
Didn't The Rock say wrestling is cool?
The Rock stole that from us. I'm confident that The Rock stole that from us. And he called himself the Final Boss because we called him Final Boss Vibes.
Oh, Santi. You think The Rock steals from you, Santi? No.
I like to believe that he does. I like to believe that we are the center of the universe. Sancho. Shall we bring it home? Shall we do a little bit of new heat
are
order?
Are we at that time, a little pumpkin?
Well, we're not, but like we don't have anything else to talk about, and we already did a 30-minute.
Why don't we talk about Stephanie Vaquer, dude? How bogus it is for the WWE keeping her on ice just because she's
why. You know why. It's for WrestlePalooza. Because there's no reason why she should be left off of Clash in Paris. We've known about the Naomi thing for long enough to have just created another number one contender. They really wanted it in Clash in Paris, they could have had it. Like they easily could have. This isn't the situation of like, we couldn't get her on Clash in Paris because of what happened with Naomi. No, they didn't want this on Clash in Paris because they just want to have a big moment, as many big moments as possible at WrestlePalooza so that you drop 30 bones to ESPN, the big mouse, Stephanie Vaquer, championship match at WrestlePalooza is what's going to happen.
Your dumb trier is done again.
We're doing a lot of laundry here. I'm beside the laundry zone. And unfortunately, Sarah decides to do laundry on Tuesdays.
In the bowels of your house, you're regulated to just the laundry. Let's talk about New Heat Order. For those of you who don't know, this is the buzz. This is the thing that we're talking about the most is excitement going into it. We do this every week. We've been pretty accurate with your New Heat Order. I don't know what the previous week was. Naomi was on top with Dominic Mysterio, Roman Reigns, LA Knight, Bayley, Wyatt Six, Jey Uso, Rusev and Sheamus, Omos and Microman, and Kiana James rounding out. your list of the new Heat order.
Can I be bold here and say number one, Logan Paul?
I love that.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we're on the same page
here. Newly married Logan Paul. Shout out to our boy Anthony.
He got to go there, take the Polaroid.
He was there. He told me about the WEPA. It's WEPA time shirt. DM me. Was like, you need to buy this. I was like, done.
Done.
And I bought it. I bought it. Cannot wait. Shout out to Anthony. Polaroid man.
So Logan Paul, numero uno.
Numero uno. And check out my wrestling video there on Sancho West Wrestling. Talk about Logan Paul and John Cena. That'd be awesome. Use the word cool with K-E-W-L.
If you come from. Cena, number two?
Yeah, I like that. John Cena went full Cena, and Logan survived. All right, there you go so far. Logan and John Cena. Dude, what a letdown Finn Balor and AJ Styles was.
8 minutes.
I was like, ooh, we're getting this on TV. Ooh, and it was, ooh.
Yep.
Ooh.
Agreed.
Dom getting a match to AJ. Any love for Dom here in the top 10?
I mean, we're talking about it because everyone's so mad.
Buzz is buzz.
Buzz is buzz. Yeah, sure. Give me Dom and AJ, 3 and 4. We're talking about them.
I'm going to put Dom over there because Daddy Dom has a match at Worlds Collide.
How about, are you feeling a Bailey here?
Feeling
Drew McIntyre, Bailey. Randy Orton?
Dude, Drew, can Drew ever learn that Randy's always behind him? What if one day Drew turns around and goes,
aha, that'd be funny, actually. That and somebody who could do that would be Drew, and it'd be funny.
Yeah. Like he goes, there you are, like pulls up the thing, and Brady's like, oh. I'll put Drew. I think Randy didn't do anything, but I love what Drew's like, oh, I got his injury report.
Yeah.
Right here. He's ready, dude. He is ready to be
an
undisputed champion, right? You can feel it.
I can feel it. Becky Lynch.
Put Drew Mac. I like Becky at 6. I like that. I like that with her hot husband. Seth Rollins has just become a Pokemon trainer, sending out his Pokemon. That's all he's doing.
It's true.
And when he just every time Monday night, dude, that last time he's like, here is Bronson Reed. Here's my dog, Bron Breakker.
It's true. He is becoming a Pokemon trainer. He needs one more. He needs one more to round out the 3 Pokemon.
Because, you know, he wants to be the very best that no one ever was.
God,
catch them all.
There's so many to catch now. There's too many. It's over 1,000 Pokemon now. Crazy.
Yeah, you're selling your salt water just to promote your Pokemon card. Great line. I'm looking at the rest of the roster. Chelsea Green doing some double work in NXT.
That's true. The double work.
I forgot a pin on Charlotte.
You want to put Secret Hervis?
Yeah.
Let's get them all in there. Secret Hervis.
That's what we said when we broke down the roster. We were like, Secret Hervis just needs to be booked a little stronger. Mm-hmm. You know?
Direction.
And I just dislike, though, that good old Joe Tessitore didn't call it the Piper Driver. You have one job, Joe.
Yeah. Mello. I like what they're doing with Mello here.
Unless you're overseas, you love The Miz more. Dublin. I'm looking at you, Dublin. You had one job. Did you like when Mello tweeted out? He's like, oh, I guess we're on the wrong page.
Yeah.
I'll put Mello at 7.
Okay.
Are you enjoying the Wyatt 6 being Nakamura's out there?
Yeah, because they're actually like... yeah, I do. Yeah. I like it. I like that it's creating this like living ecosystem where like every backstage segment you're looking for them. I like it.
Ooh. Hey, rather than stand at catering, can you just stand behind the shot eating a little burrito? I'll put the Wyatt 6 at 9.
All right.
I just need them. I need Uncle Howdy to wrestle. I need Uncle Howdy to cut a promo in person. I would love for that to happen. Because when he did that one time, I was like, ooh. Number 8, my bucket hat.
No. Off the list. Oh, the New Day. Bro, the New Day. The New Day. The confetti thing, that the never-ending confetti was so funny. They beat Penta.
I like it. I'm in. I'm in with this morning New Day.
Can we look at the other stuff before you just decide to put the New Day on the new heat order?
Fine.
I'm looking at my IG. Let's take a look. Have a look at the IG. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, any love for Roman, dude? Roman coming out.
Yeah, let's throw Roman in there. Yeah.
I think I have to put Roman at 3.
Yeah, I think you do too.
Okay.
Sancho, riff for 10 seconds.
Riff. Everybody. Riff.
We are back. What did you do while I was gone? Dude, I had to pee really bad. I drank way too much water during the show. I wasn't going to be able to hold it for another minute.
I riffed.
Oh. Well, I guess I'll find out.
You sure will, pal.
Oh.
You sure will, pal.
Oh. All right, where are we at?
Let's see. Any love from anyone from... Jey Uso with the super kick at the end?
Sure, I can vibe with that. I do, dude, this whole Fatal 4-Way just isn't working for me right now. It just feels like such a... tie over until we get out of this deal with Peacock.
And I'm looking at here. Hold on. Nikki Bella, Dragon Lee, Penta, Logan Paul, we already have on the list. Jimmy Uso. You know what? Becky Lynch is not. She is. She's at 6. I don't know, dude. You tell me, Charlotte Flair. I'm comfortable with putting Roman and slotting everybody down.
All right.
Okay. I like that. So here's your new list, folks. We have here Logan Paul at 1, number 2, John Cena, number 3, Roman Reigns, number 4, Dominic Cerny, number 5, AJ Styles, number 6, Drew Mack, number 7, Becky Lynch, number 8, Miz and Mello, number 9, Wyatt 6, and number 10. Good old Secret Service.
That's it. That's all. Keep it. Who's the one that's keeping track of this in the...
Goose Lesnar,
that's right. And before you guys start complaining, oh my God, only an hour 40, because that's probably what it'll end up being. You got a predictions video, okay? Still 2 hours worth of podcasting content before you start lobbying all of this hate towards us. We're sensitive people, I'll have you know. Mm-hmm. This hurts our feelings when you guys are mean to us. Mm-hmm. But folks... huge shout out goes out to our $15 patrons. They are the ones who are the producers of the show. Have we confirmed we're doing movie night this Friday?
Yes.
I think so, right? Did we agree on the movie?
We haven't yet to agree on the movie.
Okay. All right. We'll put that as a poll for Patreon.
Yeah, let's put it with a poll for Patreon. All right.
So a special thank you goes out to our $15 patrons. They are the producers of the show. And once a month, we get to hang out all together and watch a wrestling-related movie. Not a movie about wrestling, but a movie that could be related about wrestling, but it's also a movie that has a wrestler. Like, for example, wrestler-related movie would be...
The Miz? Santa Claus Miz?
Yeah, we watched that. We watched Nacho Libre. That doesn't have any wrestlers in it, but it's a wrestling movie.
It has some lucha wrestlers in it.
That's true. So a special shout out goes out to it's the Santi Eats His Monitor show. Great way to start. First patron, I Crazy Dude says hi. Albrim Zuda, Alex Regal, Alex Waddle, Alfie the Chosen One, American Nightmare, Cody Lander, Antonio Arjona, Anthony, Ariel Pacheco, Arrogance, Ashley, Ozzy Kingslayer, Austin Hoglin, Authentic Chocolate, AO Car, Bailey Saunders, Beans, Ben, B Hostile, Bing Bong Wepa, Black Lesnar, Blenda,
Chuck Blue Cord, Bluefish, Bobby, Braden Primo, Brady Keaton, Brody Cyphers, Caleb Parker, Cameron Waring, Cameron Talks WWE, Carlos Gonzalez, CB, Chef Tyrone, Chim Char Collectibles, Chris Butner Lucas, Christian Anderson, Chucky Gonzalez, Clay, Colby Mayo, Cookies for Sale, Cool Whip Tim, Corey King, Dalton Dunbar, David Bansal, David Nelson, Derek Barnhart, Devin Geards, Diego Vieta, Digi 316, D Lopez, Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, Drumsky, Sean, Egg Toast, El Hijo de Chadwig Americano, El Jono Americano, El Juan de Americano. How many Americanos do we have? Eric Crosby, wow. Eric Reese Romero, Aaron Thorne, Ethan Domingue, Isatch, but wait, there's more. Fishing with Papa J, Five Knuckle RKO, Fletcher Walpole, MFCMA, forget the hyphen between Santi and Zap, Freezer, Fugnux, Gabriel Mesa, Gamerscape, Garrett Coons, Garrett Woods, Giovanni Gonzalez, Gerbert, Gilbert Deans, Governor, GXA Man, Heartfelt, Heath Robertson, Hey Mom, You're the Best, Hey Shakes, Hoodie Cam, I'm Rick James, Bitch, I, Santi Zap, am a cult leader, Ian McNugget, I'm Braun Strowman, Imposter Sancho.
Breaking news, Saints have named Spencer Rattler as their starting quarterback.
Oh, they're going to have a terrible season. They're going to have a terrible season. Issa says, I'm Wolverine without the claws, so you're just a Canadian dude? it's Mista, it's Astro Kid, Ivan Martinez, J.E., Jack Ghibli, Jack Harris, Jack Parker, Jackson Parrish, Jacob Fatu, Jacob Mueller, Jacob Pena, Jacob Staffel, Jake Shavoya, Jared J, Jason De Dios, Jason Vane, Javier Rodriguez, Jay Henry, Javion McDuffie, JC Worley, Jelly Goose, Lesnar Roll, Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll, Jeremiah Finley, Jay Franco, Jahihi Ahihi, Joey Romig, Johnny Owens, Jordan Lynch, Jaws B, Joshua Garak, Joshua Ho, Juicy J, Juliana Sarfi, Justin Brooks, Justin Perkins, Caleb Martin, Kevin Bega, Kenyon P, Kuwaiti Rick Boogs, Kyrie Lawrence, LA Knights Nightlight, Leonardo Horson, Liam, Lil Shifu, Literally Bro, I'm Sancho from 2006. Look, it's Pac-Man, wepa, 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 wepa. Luis Jimenez, Majed, Mark, Marnie YCSM, Matthew Dollar, Matthew Oberg, Matthew Watkins, Mossy, Mayhem Matthew, Makai, Meredith Lee, Michael Purnell, Michael Paz, Michael Vera, Miguel Paredes, Mitchell X, Muhammad Alba 9, Nathan Tully, Nicholas Kyle, Nighthawk, Nina Uray, NyQuil Pad, Noah Booth, Obi Nobi, Oil Up Now, Santi 69, Oliver Hammonds, Pat R, Pat McMark, Pentalau, Prince Vegeta, Proceed With Caution, Puppet Spanker Johnson, Reaper God, Rick Marr, Ricky Dutcher, Robert Rogers, Royce Ruffo, Ruben Sanchez, Ryan Spradley, Riley, Sadie Brink, Salguero, Sam Brown, Sam Duke, Sancho doesn't get a safe space, Sancho's number one fan, Santi is Mr. Iguana, Santi lives in Canada, ha ha ha, Santi Iser is always clean, Sancho's bad ideas, Santi custom games, Santi should talk AEW, Santi's tribal chief, Gibby Fresh, Sauce God, Saudi Rick Boog, Savage Field, Say My Name, The Stobe Soul, you're goddamn right. Semba, Seymour Butts, Shaggy WWE, Shane, Shitstein Nakamura, Sip God, Sir Alberton, Slime Manny 00, Slow Toke Rodriguez, Stephanie Dalry, Stephanie Vaquay, Lookalike Contest in My Bedroom, Stephen Corby, Super Malachi Galaxy, Suplex City, Taman Bryant, the 17-time WWE Undisputed Dumbass or Nightmare, The Pickle Jar in Santi's Butt, the Vanilla Joe Rilla, The Visionary, The LA Knight Mega Glazer, Jacob Kufis, The Final Boss, Bloodline Rules, Theo Perdios, the Wepa Warrior, Bing Bong, Timmy C, Toasty, Tobias Burnett, Tom Lehman, Trent Head, Trevor Harder, Two Slap Cupid, Tycho, Tyler Logan, Tyrone says Zap says blah blah, Vegan Penguin, Venom, very fucking confused, Verzo, Void Z, Juan Pablo, White Mexican, William Newton, Zach Smira, Deadshot, Your Girl's Account, You Stupid, My Hat, Zach Griffin, Zay Needs to Oil Up, Zeke Love, Zergzito, and Lord BBNJ. Thank you guys for being $15 supporters on the Patreon. We really do appreciate it. Thank you guys very much for listening to this episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. Again, the coolest wrestling podcast on the planet. You guys take care. Be wonderful, amazing people. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Take care, everybody.
Ring the bell. That does it for this episode of Wrestling Is Cool. Shout out to Sazi and Sancho. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. My name is Mega Ran. I'm just here for the vibes. And never, ever forget that wrestling is cool. Peace.